You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business. Business success. Today we are speaking with Lyle Ball, the Chief Operating Officer for Multiling, an innovative leader in IP translations and related services. He oversees global operations, including 8 offices around the world and more than 2,200 employees and contractors. Lyle, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Eric, thank you for that introduction.
Well, you're more than welcome, certainly worthy of it. So first of all, for starters, what are some of the steps companies must take when filing patents overseas, and where does translation come in?
The first step is for a company to identify in what markets the invention requires protection. And this decision is based on several factors, primarily where is the company based, where are they manufacturing, and where are they selling. Once they know what countries they desire protection in, they must then decide which pathway of filing they're going to take. The most common pathways there are like the Paris Treaty or the Patent Cooperation Treaty, the PCT. And once they've decided on both the target countries and the pathway, then translation becomes the next most critical component. Each patent office around the world has predefined time frames for filing instructions based on these different chosen treaties. And you need both translators and foreign filing agents who not only have native expertise in the language and understanding of these filing pathways, but you also need them to have linguistically contextual expertise. It's a mouthful, and that just says they understand the science and the process application of your company's products and services, not just the language and legal strategy for the country. Of course, once the translation of the case is filed, the need for the translation doesn't end. Throughout the life of a patent, translators are needed during prosecution as well as litigation phases when dealing with these foreign patent offices. And additionally, documents such as office actions or prior art often need varying degrees of translation.
How do you recommend companies work with translators to file their patents?
Well, the pathway we recommend is one we pioneered with Procter & Gamble's legal team more than 15 years ago, and it's now generally referred to in the industry as the streamlined translation model. And in this streamlined or centralized model, it leverages centralized technology systems that let translators around the world simultaneously collaborate with other translators on the same patent. They have access to the same terminology databases to ensure accuracy and consistency and greater overall transparency to the legal teams and the corporate offices. And these technology systems also increase security in both distributing and archiving the patent files that are being sent around the world. This model is basically 180 degrees different from the industry's outdated model, where companies used to file a patent in their local market, and then they would pass it to dozens of law firms around the world, where it would be translated by non-scientific resources that didn't collaborate. That led to inconsistencies, filing delays, ultimately inaccuracies resulting in things like office actions, grant delays, and scope reductions.
How important are accurate translations really when filing patents, and how often are mistakes made, and what could happen as a result?
Well, Wyatt Earp once said, fast is fine, but accuracy is everything. And when it comes to translation of a patent, accuracy really is everything. The breadth of coverage or even the validity of a patent can hang on a single word, which sometimes even is as simple as a preposition or an article. Understanding how to construct a translation using the proper terminology for a patent is critical, just as critical as the understanding of the invention itself. As a result, effective translators need to know how to write as a patent professional, as well as have a deep understanding of the science behind the invention. With regard to mistakes, human language is imperfect. Any attorney will find a loophole in another attorney's work. Translations are no different. There's most definitely can be differing opinions on each interpretation or translation. However, significant misunderstandings or errors in grammar or terminology should not occur often. If they do occur, the consequence can range from an office action during prosecution, which raises the overall cost of filing and delays time to grant, to reduction in scope for an invention, or even invalidation of the patent altogether.
Certainly interesting information today. We're joined by Lyle Ball, the Chief Operating Officer for Multiling, an innovative leader in IP translations and related services here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Lyle, what are the most difficult languages for translation?
Well, that's a great question. You know, if you ask a translator, our translators are generally native speakers of their target language, and most will probably argue that their language is actually the easiest. However, a recent study out of Germany by the Steinbeis Institute for IP Management told us that translating into Asian languages from Western languages or vice versa represents the most difficult translations. That difficulty comes down to two main reasons. First, the ideographic characters of Asian languages, and also things like Chinese employing a radically different sentence structure than other languages with Germanic or Latin roots. An example of that would be while English uses, say, verb tense to indicate whether an event has happened or will happen, Chinese uses adverbs and context clues. Chinese also doesn't include articles in most cases, so they don't add an S or other such letters to a noun to indicate more than one, but instead they require a qualifying phrase that might say a plurality of and then the noun. Such differences lead to a wide variety of resulting translations and translation errors.
And lastly, how do clients ensure that translations are accurate, especially if they don't speak the language in which the patent application is being translated?
Well, this comes down to trust. Trust is critical when translating any document, especially if you don't speak or even read the language it's being translated from or into. In the outdated translation model, inaccuracies were often only found, say, when office actions were received or patents were invalidated. This is really far too late in the process. Under the streamlined process, it greatly improves both the accuracy of the translated document and it gives corporations transparency into the qualifications of each translator. In any case, there are a few ways clients can make sure they are receiving accurate translations. First, only partner with translators who have long-standing relationships with other significant enterprise clients, as this gives added confidence that the translation process has worked over the years for similarly demanding enterprises. Work with a translation firm to define what level of quality is expected and determine when it is achieved.
Well, certainly some valuable information, certainly as that applies to businesses worldwide and your services. If you would tell our listeners where they can get more information about Multiling online.
Yeah, that would be at multiling.com, MultiLing.com.
And that's simple enough. And in conclusion, any closing thoughts or a final tip for the listeners along the lines of our discussion today?
Make sure your priority application is accurate and absent of ambiguity in English before you even consider translating it, from both a scientific and a legal standpoint. Flaws in that source document often create confusion, and that results in even greater problems in the translated documents.
Well, certainly some good advice and good information. Lyle, thanks for taking a moment to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio, and certainly wish you all the best and great success in 2015.
Rick, thank you. Thanks for having us on your program.
You're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Lyle Ball, the Chief Operating Officer for Multiling, an innovative leader in IP translations and related services. And once again, the website of reference is multiling.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.